The following is a presentation of Game Show Newsnet and the CLW 83 Network.
This is Gordon Pepper, and I would like to apologize for us not being on the air for the past couple of weeks, because I've been spending the time down in North Carolina with my best buddy in the whole wide world, Chico Alexander. Isn't that right, Chico?
That is correct. You were actually at a bowling tournament across town from my house. How did you like it?
First of all, North Carolina has got the best southern deep dish food ever. The food was fantastic. The golfing was fun, even though Chico came in last. The trivia events were fun, even though Chico screwed up a couple of questions on the medical field. That got right, we would have won the tournament.
And
Chico,
I did. I'm a medical scientist, and I didn't even know how many weeks you had to wait until your next blood transfusion.
Yes, and Chico got powdered in the UVA, so I had a lot of fun.
UndergroundBowlingAssociation.com, by the way. Thanks for the hospitality. But my misfortune is nothing compared to what other people experience. Isn't that right, Gordon?
Yes. Well, it depends. If you were stuck in the U.S. and you got 3 feet of snow, then yes, you had a lot of misfortune. If you were unfortunate enough to watch this week's American Idol, you may have suffered more so than the people that got stuck in 3 feet worth of snow.
And if you played a semifinal in a game show of our liking, you really got powdered. We're going to talk about all of this because from somewhere in America, WLTI Live is on. Welcome to this edition of WLTI Live on the CLW 83 Network, CLW83.com, with Gordon Pepper. I'm Chico Alexander. Thanks for being a part of our week and allowing our week to be a part of you. And, of course, we don't do this alone. Heaven help us if we did. We have a Jason Block recording and adding his 2.5 cents.
It's only worth 2.5 cents, huh?
That's all it's worth.
Yeah, that's about right. But
Jay, I would like to point out that we will start our show with you having 2.5 cents more than any and all of our Jeopardy contestants on Thursday.
You know.
Okay.
When I saw that, I literally said words that I don't think we could say on this particular version of the podcast. Are you kidding me? Really? I mean, look, I know that they're kids, and I know that they're teenagers, but you gotta know the betting strategy, right?
You really do.
Well, unfortunately, here at WLTI, we are equal opportunity. We will nail anybody that's done something stupid. And sorry, kids, but you're it this week. Welcome to our edition of Kids Betting Badly.
We like kids. We really do. And if they do something awesome, we're gonna call them on it. Also, if they do something stupid, we're gonna call them on it. So this is us calling them on it. We were gonna talk about how awesome this tournament is. We can't do that.
No, we can't.
Setting up the schedule here, we have 3 contestants. We have, and I will not say the last names because we don't wish to torture them that much. Actually, but yes, we do. We just don't want to get sued. We have Kelton, Joe, and Tori. Kelton has $16,400. Joe has $12,000. Tori has $1,600. Now, what the Jeopardy book says is if you're Tori with $1,600, you bet absolutely nothing, and you hope the other two people bet it all and do something really stupid. If you're Joe with $12,000, you bet $4,401. That will guarantee that, regardless, you're forcing Kelton to get the question right, Kelton has to bet against Joe, so therefore the right bet would be approximately 7,601. Actually, that is the exact bet that you have to have.
Yeah, exactly. So
the clue is capital city.
Okay.
And here is your final Jeopardy question. Bing! It's crisscrossed by dozens of peace walls that separate its Catholic and Protestant neighborhoods.
Okay, I got this. I'm locked.
All right, I got it.
All right, Jay, give us the right answer.
The answer is, what is Belfast in Northern Ireland?
Now, usually I would be the person that would give out the asinine answer, but because this week has been such a topsy-turvy week, Chico, give us the asinine answer.
What are the handball courts in Dublin?
Hey,
you know, I've heard that usually those are peace walls unless there's a dispute on whether or not the ball goes out of bounds, in which case then the arguments get quite nasty.
If when you lose your frisbee in the neighbor's yard, they decide to keep it for a little while. That pales in comparison. Right. Anyways, Jason's right. He's the only one right. All three contestants, I swear to God, I am not kidding you, they go all in. Now, if you were on Let's Ask America, that would be a good thing to do, because at least you're getting $1,000 out of it. This one, not so much, because everybody goes all in, everybody gets it wrong. We end up with only the third 000 tie in Jeopardy history. And the rules state you gotta win with something.
And you notice that when all three of them went, Alex's face was like, what?
Hold on, Jay. Hold that thought. We have a clip.
Oh?
Yes, we do.
Oh, Tori, I hope you got it in before time ran out on you. We start with you first. You had 1,600. What did you write down there at the very end? You wrote in, what is Dublin? And that is incorrect. So it's going to cost you how much? 1,600. You dropped a zero. Let's go to Joe now. He had 12,000, and he's shaking his head. Why? Because he wrote down Dublin also. You're very close, but not right. It's going to cost you how much? 12,000. We go down to zero. Kelton, over to you now. You have an enigmatic smile about you, and you wrote down Dublin also. No, the correct response is Belfast, Northern Ireland. And what did it cost Kelton? 16,400. That means he drops to zero, and that means three zeros there. What that means is we have no winner today. And this is the first time it has ever occurred in one of our tournaments. According to the rules, though, the three spots in the finals will be occupied by winners, and if we don't have a winner, by the highest scoring player among non-winners in any of the semifinal games. That means one player from yesterday is still eligible, and two from tomorrow's match will be eligible. We're going to say goodbye. It's going to be an exciting end of the week. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
It sounded like Alex Trebek needed a very stiff drink after that episode.
Again?
Yeah. So, according to the Jeopardy rules, first of all, I'm going to correct you guys a little bit. This is the third time in history that this has happened. However, it is the first time that this has happened in a tournament. Based on the tournament rules, if all three people have a zero, it is equivalent of everybody in pressure luck whammying out. There is no winner. So what you wind up doing in this case is that you go back to the semifinalists and you take the person that had the most number of points or the greatest total, and then they become the next finalist. This happened on Friday's episode of the show. Your category for Final Jeopardy is U.S. government. Your clue. Bing. Recently in the news, this agency traces its origins to an 1803 act helping Portsmouth, New Hampshire after a fire. I would say you have 30 seconds, except I'm sure both of you guys have the correct and incorrect answer.
Well, I do.
We do.
I do.
Jay, give us the correct answer,
what
please.
Is FEMA?
And Chico.
What is the coalition to protect Mrs. O'Leary's cow from being bred by Kim Kardashian?
Ew! Ew!
She's
we
pregnant.
We will have more Kim Kardashian later on today. It's usual if we're talking about Kim Kardashian, and it's usually not for a really good reason. However, Jason is correct. It is FEMA. So, we have two winners, quote unquote, so to speak. We have Nilay Sards, N-I-L-A-I Sards, S-A-R-D-S, who won it. And then $200 behind him in second place is Leonard Cooper, who also gets in because, again, he gets the lucky wild card. You've seen Eric Block, you've seen Nilay Sards, and you've seen Leonard Cooper. Who wins?
First of all, by the way, number one, you notice that Leonard got in because of a bad bet by the third contestant. If she would have bet a little bit more money, she would have been in.
This is true.
I'm just saying, again, it's another example of contestants betting badly. I like Nilay. Leonard was good. These are three very good young men who can really play. But I like Nilay. He's just cool, machine-like of the three. I like him.
I'm going to go with Nilay Sarda, Gordon. Nilay Sarda. He's clutch. You know, Barrett's a very smart person. I'm not giving it to any. Obviously, taken up after his brother Jason. Barrett Block is not Jason Block's
brother.
No, I
don't have a brother.
Okay. Has a sister, though. Anyway, Nilay Sarda is a clutch player. He keeps it cool under pressure. He knows how to play the metagame, and that's going to take him to the money.
Actually, he does have a brother. Jason does, and he's in the middle of trying to create big metal cubes for his next act when trying to impress the America's Got Talent judges.
My brother is not Leonid the Magnificent. I'm telling you this, we are not related, okay?
You sure?
I'm sure. But you know what? After what we saw on American Idol this week, Leonid might have gotten through.
He might have.
Leonid would have easily made the top 20 for the guys, and that's saying nothing good right there. Usually at this point, every year, we usually talk about at least one or two guys that we think would be a threat to win the whole thing in American Idol. Unfortunately, we're not going to be doing that this week for two reasons. Number one, the men's talent was not very good. And number two, and more importantly, really, you didn't get to see that much of it because it was overshadowed between, once again, the judges.
Well, yeah, but I will say this, though. I'm telling you this. The male talent this year, honestly, was the worst in years. In years. You know.
All right, I'm going to play devil's advocate here 1 second. I'm going to interrupt you. I'm going to play devil's advocate 1 second. Is the reason why it was the worst in years, is the reason because they really want a female to win? Or is it because these judges have the talent capacity of a flea looking for feces in a dumpster?
A little column A, a little column B.
Yeah, Jason is stealing my thunder this morning. I mean, first of all, I look at the guys. You know, you look at the guys and you want somebody to win. You want to pull for somebody. The problem is, I don't care. I don't care. There's nobody here that I would, you know, if I were to say they voted out, I'm through watching American Idol. There's nobody there. And the second, I think we all should feel sorry for Keith Urban.
I am going to respectfully disagree a little bit here. I'm not saying that the judging has been as awful as you make it out to be. Okay.
Oh, I will.
Well, that's fine because. I honestly, and Gordon, that's why we have this show. I think Nicki Minaj actually has been a lot better than you're giving her credit for. I think the person who has actually said the least and done the least is Mariah Carey. It feels like she is just collecting a paycheck and mailing it in.
I won't disagree with you on that. I mean, I'm not getting anything from her.
Okay.
Well, here's the problem that I have with that. The problem is that, you know, as much as we like the judges, I think Nicki Minaj has got her own little sandcastle away from everybody else's sandcastle. And while I think that some of her critiques are valid, she so alienates herself with all the other antics that she does that half of America right now, I think, has really turned her out or turned her off. And it really doesn't matter at this point what she says. She could be 100% right the rest of the way. But she's just looked so bad on the contested auditions that I'm not sure if it really matters. Again, I'm not talking about you and me and Chico that can filter through that and go, okay, she's actually saying some really interesting stuff here. I'm talking about most of mainstream America that don't like her to begin with, and then they're really turned on her thanks to what she did with Mariah Carey earlier on. As a petty, absolutely, but if you're America, you know, you want your judges to be likable. This is something that we're going to be returning back to later on for a different reason. But you want the people to be likable. You want to follow them. Say what you will about how goofy Paula Abdul was and how much a biatch Simon Cowell was at the beginning of American Idol. The fact of the matter is that those judges were still likable. You were interested in what they had to say. You had bated breath knowing that either one of them was going to rip into the contestants or the other one was going to try to find something nice to say. They were likable. At least J-Lo and Steven Tyler, as vapid as they both were at least likable. Unfortunately, here's what you have this year. This year, you have two dueling divas who made each other look horrible, and they're not likable at all. It's sort of like you want to mute the TV when they're talking. I think a bunch of people probably do mute the TV when they're talking. And that's a problem, because if you're not interested in what they have to say, then it really doesn't matter what they're saying if you're going to tune them out.
Right, exactly. And there was, I'm sorry, Chico, but there's one segment that really irked me. That was sort of.
Was it the Hollywood Week where everybody forgot the lyrics and it just felt kind of comical?
Yes, this was the payphone.
I was gonna get to that because you had forgetful lyrics, people BSing it on stage, and you know the pitch was off, the harmonies were off. It was just not a group caliber performance. And if you ask me, I think the die was cast in the auditions, because you weren't looking for talent. You were looking for image. You weren't looking for who would make good music. You were looking for who would make good television.
Wow. And you know what? And I think this is, you know, and Gordon, you may be absolutely, I think we discussed this earlier. This is the first time I think Idol is doing this, has swung the balance that way, if you understand what I mean. Because...
take it even from a Simon Cowell, or obviously he's not on American Idol, but I'll say it anyway, an L.A. Reid, where you look for not only style, but where you not only look for substance, I should say, but you look for style with it. Even if it's something different, there's got to be some sort of substance with it. It's almost sort of like they saw what's happened in the last couple of years. The only person that's done anything in terms of sales after their debut album has been Scotty McCreery, who's been country boy. He's a cute, young heartthrob, and all the girlies like him, and that's all well and good. The past couple of them, Chris Allen, what's he been up to?
Not much.
Rita Wise, what has he been up to?
Dropped.
Philip Phillips, albeit the jury is out a little bit early on him because he still has an opportunity.
Yeah, but the jury's out. He's doing well in digital sales.
Basically. No, he's doing well all over. I think Philip Phillips actually kind of broke the mold of the generic, you know, hot guy with guitar, so to speak. But
the jury's still out on that. Again, numbers he's been doing better than the recent ones, but then again, it's not hard to do. But Philip Phillips is not the megastar that you've had the first 5-6 seasons of the show. You know, you can even make an argument that Jordan Sparks has had a couple of monster hits for Idol. Obviously, Kelly Clarkson, huge.
Yeah.
Carrie Underwood, huge.
Hicks. No.
You were not supposed to say that name on this show.
I thought Taylor Hicks. I'm thinking Aiken, not Hicks. I'm sorry, my bad. Mr. Aiken, huge. He didn't win it, but he had a couple of monster hits, and even so did Ruben Studdard in terms of his albums. Those are the mega hits they're looking for. They're not finding them. even with the Scotty McCreary, which is nice. And again, I said this, and neither of you guys had believed me at that point, but now you will have to. What did I say about Scotty McCreary coming out? He's going to be huge in country. He's not going to do anything in the mainstream because he's dedicated to the one niche, and they're not marketing him out that way. Sure enough, hey, I was right. Surprise.
When
But the thing is that getting back, you're right. The male guys were so vanilla. And even the people who weren't vanilla were just awful. I mean, look at JDA.
Oh, God.
Okay? He makes Sanjaya Malakar look like vanilla ice cream. Okay? Right? And again, I'm not trying to be disrespectful in any way when I say this. He would look more in place on RuPaul's Drag Race, which we'll talk about in a little bit.
Let's not go there. You know, it's again, we're judging on musical talent, not necessarily appearance. So I don't want to go there.
Right.
But let's put it this way. They're clearly not judging on musical talent. They're clearly judging based on style. And unfortunately, I think the judges are thinking image more than singing, which is a travesty for a show that has been dedicated to finding unique talent and unique images out there, and now they're going completely generic. And if you've seen the ratings, the audience was calling them on it, and we're calling them on it for that exact reason. It's just, it's not good, and it needs to be better, and it all boils down to the singers. And I've said this every year for the past couple of years, and I've been right, and I'll say it this year. If they don't find any good females, watch the ratings on the live shows plummet. Except I will say this, and this is the one thing that I haven't said. American Idol last year was in danger of losing to Dancing with the Stars results show and the performance shows on Tuesday. They will lose decisively this time around if they cannot get better singers on the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday shows. The women better be good because the men weren't.
Okay, they are already losing on the results. Already losing on the Thursday shows to Big Bang Theory and 2.5 Men. So if that continues,
the losses there are barely. It's not by huge margins. It's by small margins, less than a million. That's not a big deal. And you know, the Big Bang Theory is hot. What I mean by that is, if they go into the live groups with nothing in terms of anything that strikes anybody's fancy from a musical perspective, they will lose decisively. And I'm saying by at least 2 to 3 million.
Yeah, I agree completely. I think the next week's Hollywood Week is going to show whether American Idol is in danger of what's going on, because this season they're teetering on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you really, when you look at it, you know, people go in here for the sake of, you know, seeing who the talent is and seeing who's going to be auditioning. Right now, there's been absolutely nothing for people to put their head on in terms of singers. Again, from a male standpoint, we got nothing. If we have the exact same thing next time on the females, American Idol's going to be in trouble.
Indeed. If it loses to the Taste, oh, God.
Yeah, one judging show, well, it's not, oh God, I think we're going to have a little bit of difference of opinion here, even though not by much. But we move from one set of judges on a judging show to another one. This is a review of something called The Taste. This is a show on ABC. It is about judges picking contestants to be on teams and to taste blind dishes.
Of a judge eliminating one of their contestants because it's a blind test.
Well, yeah, but let's go back and let's talk about the premise here. Four chefs get one taste of food from contestants. The good chefs join teams where we get chefs eliminated week by week by their own judges based on the performances that they have had from the past week. Stop me if this sounds familiar.
Stop!
The winner of this will get $100,000 and a new car. And yes, this is The Voice meets Top Chef.
Yeah, you know what? You don't see it on the audio version, but I'm wearing the WLTI Xerox prevention mask, TM.
pending,
yes. There's so much copying here, and, you know, there's nothing original about this show.
There really isn't. It is what the box says it is. The Voice meets Top Chef. But the problem here is, not only is it not original at all, but none of the judges are that darn likable. I mean, you have a show like Top Chef, everybody is nurturing. A show like MasterChef, everybody is rooting for success, except in the field challenges where Gordon Ramsay's just not going to have any of that. But here, it's just all hard all the time. It's like Battle of the Clashing Egos. I mean, you have Anthony Bourdain.
Who is known to be an egotistical so-and-so.
Ludovic Lefebvre.
Who
is also known to be an egotistical so-and-so, and B, a French egotistical so-and-so. And Brian Malarkey, who is this top restaurateur in San Diego, even though I don't think any of us have heard of him. And Nigella Lawson.
And her boobs.
Shucky Ducky Quack. And her boobs.
Because
Shucky Ducky Quack,
yes.
Okay.
But,
well, I think you guys have hit it on the head in terms of why we don't like the show. And let's go back to something that we talked about earlier. When you talk to American Idol, the judges are likable. You know, again, Simon Cowell, they're all likable. They're all charismatic. None of the judges here are likable. They're all sniping at each other. Let's even go to The Voice. The Voice, you have four judges with four very distinct different personalities. You've got Christina Aguilera, you've got Adam Levine, you've got CeeLo, and you've got Blake Shelton.
Yeah.
And they're all very different personalities. And they all are competitive, and they all play to win. But there's two things here that separate them from the cast of The Taste. Number one, they're all likable. Even at the end of the day, they don't take it too seriously. They're still friends and chummy at the end. And number two, and this is more important than number one, they're all mentors. You see them all trying to help out the chefs, but do it in a, not the chefs, the singers, but they do it in a constructive way. You don't see that in The Taste. In The Taste, you see them almost on the borderline of being destructive to their disciples. It's not good TV. If I'm watching this, that's not what I want to see. I want to see, and again, you're talking about the demystification of product. And what I want to see is I want to see the chefs being given tips. I want to see how they're cooking. I want to see the styles. I want to see exactly what they're doing that's wrong and what they would do that's right so that I can learn from the show. I'm not getting of that. Instead of getting whiny celebrity chefs yelling at each other.
And you didn't get this before?
Well, but I don't want to see this. I see this on Top Chef. I see this on Shocked. I want demystification going on so that I, as a chef, want to learn.
Yeah, you're not going to get any of this on this show. If there is one saving grace on this show, and it is really reaching here, you have chefs, classically trained chefs, competing alongside home cooks.
Well, yeah, I mean, and it also looks great. I mean, the show looks really...
It's a top-shelf product.
But that's about it.
In label.
Yeah.
In the label.
Yeah.
It's a fancy label. It's a fancy label of vodka, but it's tap water on the
pretty
inside.
Pretty much. You know, it's pretty much supposedly be a Kobe beef hamburger, but instead you're getting horse meat. It's a D from...
Somebody ate at Burger King.
In the
okay.
UK, yes. Uh-huh.
It is a D from me, too. I mean, the term hot mess comes to mind.
Well, in this case, hot mess would be literally and figuratively. So, grading the show. It could have been a lot better. You had the wrong judges in there, and you didn't have enough originality for me. So, it's getting a D+.
Okay, so that's a D from me, a D from Jason, and a D+ from Gordon. How would you think about CBS's new entry, The Job?
You know,
let's talk a little about The Job here. The Job, the new show from CBS, is behind the minds of both Mark Burnett, who of course did Survivor, and Michael Davies, who did Behind Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. The premise is simple. you have five people that are competing for one job. However, it gets complicated from that point on, and it gets complicated in a good way. All of the people that are applying for the job have to go through a couple of challenges. Each challenge is relevant to the position that they have in order to get the job. In addition to that, you have three other companies that have the capability or the potential to steal any of the clients who are competing for the job. And the contestants could take the smaller job if they're offered it to it. And the other thing is that the major company that is looking to hire can hire one, two, three, or none of the contestants that are there on the show. That is up to the company that is involved. I really like the show. I was surprised on how well I like this show. It is very well executed, and even though you do see some of the same elements that you've seen in other shows, it doesn't feel like it because this show executes those elements the best out of any and all of those shows, those job-style shows.
Think about The Apprentice early seasons.
You mean before it went celebrity and all drama, yes.
Before it went celebrity and Donald Trump went all attention star.
Yeah, exactly. But Gordon is exactly right about this. You're culling five people down to one. And five people down from thousands into one. In the episode that debuted, which unfortunately didn't get very well ratings, and I'm very shocked at this, but you know what? I think it will eventually.
No, I'm not shocked about this at all for reasons that I mentioned before, and I'll mention again. I don't want to interrupt you, but I wasn't shocked at all. One of the things that I spoke about in terms of Push or Flush was when we had the show, and you can catch it on our transcripts, I didn't think America was ready for this sort of show, which is a shame because this is actually, and I actually flushed the show back then, and it's a shame because this show is actually a very well-executed show. Anyway, Jay, continue, and then I'll go on my rant afterwards.
In this particular case, they were competing to be an assistant manager of the Palm restaurant in New York City. And they had, which is, by the way, an excellent, excellent steakhouse. I've been there. It's really good. Okay. And what happened was, five people had to do different jobs that an assistant manager would do, like greeting, seating, wine service, delivering food, little things like that, and I love the way they did it. The beauty of the execution was none of it felt reality-based forced drama. Zero. This felt real to me. Absolutely 100% real to me.
Yeah, it was real, and I'll tell you something else. And if you're not a fan of reality TV, it's only that little bit of the program. You look at it overall, it's basically a reality television show with game show guts. I mean, you have people competing, you have the hard quizzes, which, you know, if you're inclined to, you can play along with at home.
Right. I love the quizzes. The quizzes were great. I love it. You have to do math in your head with tips. Simple. Brilliant. I love that. Like, and also, did you remember the names of the people who you worked with? Little brilliant touches that make it work. Okay.
Indeed.
I agree with both of you on everything. However, now it is my turn to be the dark cloud and bring the rain with your sunshine.
Or snow in this case, but go ahead.
Well, I only am myself. But this is one of the reasons why the show didn't work in terms of the audience, and it's got nothing to do with the show itself. As I said, I love the show. I think it's a great show. I actually give the show an A. It executed it perfectly. I like the fact that it really took away, it changed the genre out. It didn't make it we're only hiring one person. I do like all the changes that they made on the show. Here's the problem with the show, and the problem has nothing to do with the show, which is why I'm not degrading the show at all. The problem is the economic climate that we live in right now. Survivor worked back then, and it still works now, because it's an escapism from reality. You have 16 people to 18 people on an island that try to get along with each other. Back then in The Apprentice, when it started, and this was years ago, keep this in mind, you didn't have such a depressing job economy that you do now. back then, again, it's a little escapism from reality. You have people that were, for the most part, comfortable in their jobs. And you had other people trying to apply for jobs, and you learned stuff, and you had Donald Trump coming in. And you had this going on. So it was an escapism, and of course, Donald Trump is larger than life. Right now, this economy, though it is better than it was 4 years ago, it's still pretty awful. And because the economy is still awful, people don't want to turn around and watch people compete for jobs that they themselves may have or they themselves may be looking for. So from that aspect, if I'm watching TV and I'm struggling in my job, I want to avoid a show like this because I don't want a reminder on how awful my job situation is.
That's
why I think the ratings on this were soft. That being said, the show itself is an excellent show, and if you didn't watch it, you should. This is one of the better reality shows that are out there. You should watch this.
They were busy being depressed by Shark Tank because it's basically along the same. Actually, no, they weren't because it's on another channel and on another time slot. But anyways, what you said was absolutely accurate. The show itself is good. It premiered soft because I don't think people are ready for it. But if I can bring up Shark Tank again, people weren't ready for Shark Tank, and it ultimately grew. So if you take time
it's still based on Friday nights. And the reason why it is that people just, you know, Shark Tank is a niche show. And whereas, yeah, I agree, it's growing. It's never going to be a big hit. It's never going to be American Idol standpoint. It's never going to be anything close to that. It's good Friday night fare. I think the job will grow. I think it'll be good Friday night fare. But again, you know, from an audience standpoint, people watch TV to either learn or to escape and get away with it. These shows, if you're in that environment, neither of those shows do anything that would be worth your while in terms of it. I'm glad Shark Tank is getting a run. It's not my cup of tea, but I know that other people like it. And I hope that the job gets the same run, but if it doesn't, I can understand why.
I agree with you, though, but I honestly think, if you remember correctly, this is in the same genre somewhat as a show that CBS has called Undercover Boss, and I would love to see them pair this with Undercover Boss, and maybe that might actually help them a little bit, because if you...
I agree with you that if you pair it with Undercover Boss, it will definitely help. The one difference here is that Undercover Boss, at the end of the day, is a major demystification of what the product is. And it's also a feel-good story. You take someone and you change their life forever. This is also a feel-good story, but you're also destroying the dreams of people along the way. I mean, not everybody gets a job. In the episode that we saw, you had five candidates, only three of them got jobs. The other two sort of like got discarded with yesterday's garbage, especially at the beginning.
That is true.
So, yeah, I think the show's timbre is a little bit different.
You know, but yes, but I will say this, though. For me, this takes a very negative situation and flips it into something, for me, that was really awesome from a television perspective. I had a feeling the show was going to be good, and I was glad to be proven right on this. I'm giving this show an A, and you know, it's one of the best shows out there. I just hope it grabs an audience.
I'm giving the show an A as well. It's the current game show Overlord with the current reality show Mastermind. This is a masterclass on how to do good television. It may not have the audience, but it is good television. Definite show of the year material.
Another example of good television that, you know, hasn't had the biggest audiences, but for something like Logo, it's a big hit. And that, of course, is the latest season of RuPaul's Drag Race. I will give you a quick 2-minute primer just in case you missed the first couple of episodes and you want to see this, which is actually pretty cool. This is part of our column this week called Spreading the Love. And we're going to spread some love to RuPaul and his Drag Race. Now, what the Drag Race is that it's a set of drag queens that compete against each other to win the title of RuPaul's or America's Best Drag Queen. In this case, the winner will get $100,000 and lots of different contracts and stuff like that. So it's actually pretty good. What makes this a fun show is the fact that just if you trap a whole bunch of, shall we say, self-driven drag queens in a room, it automatically creates really good drama. And in this case, one of the things that they did was that they put two people that were against each other in a national pact against each other.
Drama!
Which makes it interesting because those two people already hate each other. Now you add that in with other drag queens around the country and one from Puerto Rico, so you can have that international flavor. It makes this fun, and it's a fun little
meow,
show.
Meow, 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 meow.
Exactly. Yes, bring out the cat food, bring out the kitty litter. So, in the first episode, you have people that went on an underwater fashion shoot. Was it stolen from America's Next Top Model? Yes, it is, but it's still pretty funny. The second one, however, was not stolen, and this is very clever. Usually on the show at the end, they have something called lip syncing for your life, where you have to lip sync a song. The challenge in episode 2 was lip syncing, but not songs. It was lip syncing different episodes that were played out throughout the seasons of the show. This is a very clever challenge, and it was executed very, very well.
And not to mention, it was also poking fun of itself. And, you know, I'm always of the mindset that if you can afford to poke fun at yourself, it's a good thing.
Absolutely. It's always fun to make fun of yourself, and now we're going to make fun of the American Pickers.
Oh, boy.
We now shift over to a... Now, usually we have on our show a $1 million moment, and then if it's less than $1 million, it's divided by 2, divided by 4, divided by 10. In this case, this is a $1 million moment divided by 1,000.
Yikes!
Because
you did the math in your head just now, didn't you?
I'm sorry?
You did the math in your head just now, didn't you?
I'm a smart little person. Anyway, the American Pickers lose. They drop to $1,000, and I dropped you $1,000 with this question. Since Gallup began asking the question in 1948, who has been named their most admired woman a record 16 times? A, Jackie Kennedy. B, Oprah Winfrey. C, Hillary Clinton. D, Mother Teresa. E, RuPaul.
No, wait! Wait.
You said most admired woman, right?
And you can even throw in F. Sean Wallace during the pencil version of The Chase.
Oh, God. Yes.
That would be S. No.
Well, I'm saying it's B, Oprah Winfrey, right?
Chico, the correct answer, please.
Okay, I'm going to review this in small terms. 8 years as First Lady, 6 years as a New York Senator, and 4 years as the Secretary of State. It is C, Hillary Clinton.
And Chico is very smart. And the answer is C, Hillary Clinton. The American Pickers decides that Mother Teresa would have been a good choice. The American Pickers are wrong. They blow over $65,000 in their bank. They drop to $1,000, and that is what they're leaving with.
Yeah, it's $10,000, by the way. $10,000 well, going to Mike Wolf and Frank Fritz for the America's Vet Dogs, which supports animal military services.
Yep. Which
well, they walk with $10,000, but if they're a civilian, they drop to
$1,000.
That's
true.
Right.
But I think... But Gordon, I think it's time for some news.
I do too. Roll that beautiful break footage.
Live, local, late breaking. From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you, Doug Morris, where it is very, very warm.
All right. Chico, what do you got?
Okay, first thing, let's get this green light out of the way. And we're going to say a little something, but let's get this green light out of the way. After seeing Minute to Win It on GSN perform to expectations expected from shows not hosted by Steve Harvey, the network has options for a new series of 40 shows.
Da, 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 da. Not a shot.
We called it.
Yes.
We called this months ago once we found out that GSN picked up the rights 2 minutes to win it, and they picked it up that quickly after NBC left it. And we all said, if the show does well, we bet that GSN's going to pick up their own version of it with $1,000 for $100,000 for first place. hey, guess what happened? They're picking up their own version of it with $100,000 for first place.
Woo-hoo.
Okay, not really surprised about this at all. It is a good pickup for GSN. It's going to be, I think it's going to be a big success for GSN, especially if, now here's what I'd like to see them do. Number one, I haven't seen Guy Fieri really doing that much besides Guy versus Rachel season two, and that's already in the can. So you have a game show host that is available. The other thing which would be fun would be embracing the legacy or the folklore, per se, of the NBC version, bringing some of that back into play in the GSN version. You know, they didn't do it with 1 vs. 100, and that only lasted for one episode. If they do it here, I think this could be fun if you extend it. And yes, I would say there is a certain Lita George and other people that would love another shot at it, and theoretically they probably should be able to get it because Minnesota is on a different show, on a different network, which means that these could be all new contestants coming in. I personally am looking forward to it.
Yeah, they are producing in March for a late 2013 release on that. You know, Lee could make a really good date book appearance if he was on a show this week. Is Lee DeGeorge on a show this week, Gordon?
Well, he would be if he ever picked up our call.
Lee DeGeorge, where the hell are you?
I'm about to have a second kid from what I believe, so.
Oh, yep. Really?
Well, they're going to have some of the challenges, which are going to be harder than the minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
But eventually, maybe Lee George's kids will grow up to be contestants on The Face, which will show up on February 12th, or maybe they'll be contestants on Survivor Taramora on Wednesday. Survivor Taramoan, or Moan, or Taramoon, or however you pronounce it, on Wednesday, February 13th. Or, if they're really bad, maybe they'll be part of Worst Cooks in America on Sunday. Or, if they're really, really good, maybe both of his kids will be on The Amazing Race episode number season number 47 on Sunday.
You know what that means, right, Gordon? Next
week? Right before or right after the Grammys, but absolutely.
Yeah, next week, WLTI premieres Survivor Karamoron.
Hey! I like that! You know what? That's cool.
So yes, by the way, The Amazing Race on Sunday, that will be this Sunday after the podcast comes up. That will not be the past Sunday with the Grammys. So just to point that out, even though we are doing this on a Sunday.
Right.
So therefore, Chico, in order to get ready for the Grammys, I believe we need to get fully loaded.
I don't know. CBS came out with a dress code. I don't think we can get loaded.
I see a couch with a black mask on it and a black suit.
Oh, yeah, that's mine. I need to clean that. Anyway.
Ninja.
Are you a ninja?
Ninja.
Do you want to prove your ninja prowess?
Ninja.
Do you just like say ninja?
Ninja!
Okay, you can go to, American Ninja Warrior 5 is casting. Go to anwtryouts.com to find out how, or you can follow them on Twitter at Ninja Warrior.
Cool. Bakamoto des.
Your mom. No, anyway.
Hey. Good.
Succeed, you'll be one of the most elite athletes in the world. Fail, and Gordon will make fun of you.
Yay!
Baka Mono!
Baka!
you know, ninja is Japanese for warrior. Baka is Japanese for... Actually, Baka Mono is Japanese for stupid person. Baka is just stupid.
Yes, and this person is kind of stupid, Gordon. Tell us about it.
Well, alright. Are you smarter than Kim Kardashian? That's not a repeat. What did Kim do this time? Kim, of course, tweets her support for gun control, and then right under it, she tweets a picture of a golden-crusted gun that she bought at the store.
Dude! Really?
Okay.
Oh.
Apparently, she has no problem with having restrictions on guns, just so long as she can post them on Instagram.
Needless to say, when America called her on it, she deleted the post, so I don't have any of the responses. They probably weren't very nice.
I don't think we could have said any of them. Yikes. But dumb.
No, probably not.
I think all those pregnancy hormones have messed... No, they didn't. She's just...
No. Well, yeah. Well, she was a moron to begin with. Now she has pregnancy brain. Morons with pregnancy brains are dangerous.
Well, now moving on from that to Haterade. The following shows have hit the Great Delete Box in the sky. Cartoon Network's Hole in the Wall. I'm sure everybody must be really disappointed about
no.
that one.
I'm trying to be.
Disney's version of Fort Boyard. I'm not sorry, not Disney's. Well, whoever's version of the U.S. version of Fort Boyard.
Yeah, it was Disney XD's version of Fort Boyard, and that's a classic case of screwed by network, if you ask me.
And Majors and Minors,
which could have been so much better than it was.
It really could have.
Really could have been so much.
There was no conflict. There was no. Real. There was no conflict. There was all shiny, happy people holding hands. And
okay.
Well,
it was.
We can all hold hands somewhere else. So let's send them on a vacation, Chico. Where are they going?
All right, we're going to Australia, where the women are women, the men don't give a crap, and the beers are this big. Jason.
I've had it, and they're nice.
Big beers.
Okay,
man.
Big beers. Okay.
Sharon Osbourne, oh, well, there's a good news and a bad news. The good news, Sharon Osbourne was let go at AGT only to pop up on AGT, as in Australia's Got Talent.
As a judge?
Woo-hoo.
As a judge, yes.
Wait a minute. I thought she was so upset at the AGT judging committee that she was never going to do any judging. Wait a minute. Is the celebrity being a...
Well, no. Let's be fair here. She wasn't upset at AGT. She was upset at NBC for not letting her son go on the old epic retread show that Mark Burnett threw up there during the summer. So I don't think she had any issues against America's Got Talent itself, but she had a problem with the U.S. version of NBC. So, you know, being fair here, I don't think that would be that much of an issue for her to be the judge in Australia. Just being
okay.
Not at all. That was the good news. Now the not so good news. And these are words that we thought we would never say on this show, on the print show, on the website, in polite company, anywhere. The Price is Right is canceled.
Say what?
Wait for it. In Australia.
Not a shock. Not a shock at all. I watched you can get them on the YouTubes anywhere. When you had, you know, a combined cheaper budget with some of the production problems with prizes, this was not good at all. I mean, there was a whole news investigation on News 9 on the channel that broadcast it, if I remember correctly, about the prizes.
Yep.
So,
big W money. Yep. It's fantastic.
Oh, God.
Yeah, they definitely had issues with the prize fund, and some people thought that the show was a little bit rigged. So therefore, this doesn't come as that much of a surprise. You know, The Price is Right is something that you feel that can work anywhere as long as you don't fudge up the format. This is a clear case of someone fudging up the format.
Oh, but yes, and the thing of it is, the original Price is Right, it ran a good long while. Who was the host? Ian Turpie?
I think so. I think that's the guy's name.
Yeah. His Price is Right ran a good long while, and it had just a slight fudge of the format in the way they do the showcase round. That's their thing. What I think really happened was they just cheapened out. You can't cheapen out on it. People are going to call you on that.
Exactly. When you go... when you have showcases that were almost $1 million, and then you go to, what, 30,000 Australian, something like that, they're going to call you on it.
Yeah, a million down to 30,000 is a steep drop on any scale.
You know, I mean,
well, on that note, and this is going to tie in a little bit more to what I'll be talking about. You'll understand what I'm saying in around 30 seconds. Let's get to our O's of the week.
Okay.
In this Yahoo report, Cedric the Entertainer tentatively signs a 3-year deal to replace Meredith Beer on Millionaire. Mario Lopez loses a Super Bowl bet and now has to go streaking across the lot. Footage is on the internet. Regis Philbin will now be doing sports for Fox One.
Yeah.
Laura Spencer.
I said, sorry. Yes.
Yes.
Fox Laura Sports Spencer One, baby.
Excuse me, no interruptions. Laura Spencer returns to a returning flea market flip that got renewed for a second season. Bob Barker is being targeted by the NRA. Nate Purchase will be hosting a home renovation show, which scares a lot of people because Nate Purchase is the first and only Oprah protege that has flopped, and now he's hosting a primetime show. This may not be good. Mm. Kim Kardashian is accusing Chris Humphries of causing her stress for her baby. Aww. Kelly Monaco and Val Schmerkowski are officially an item. And The Bachelor, Sarah Herron, claims that Ashley Frazier isn't fun. However,
now, how would she know that, Sarah? How would Sarah know that Ashley isn't fun? Have they tried something together? That could be fun.
Oh, boy, yipe! Yipe!
Sarah and Ashley together? Yes, please.
But none of these people, including Sarah or Ashley, are your hoes of the week.
Ah, multiple.
Your hoes of the week are Nick Lachey, Drew Lachey, Nitty Leaf, Sharon Osbourne, Charles Barkley, and Demi Lovato.
Hey, Chico, you got this?
I got this. These are your celebrity partners for the second annual Price is Right Celebrity Week Spectacular. And if it's anything like last week, it's going to be something huge.
Yeah.
Last
year. I mean, put it to you this way. Snoop Dogg in a 63 Lincoln Continental. Okay? Nuff said.
Thank you.
Okay? Snoop was fantastic. I mean, was it Snoop, Heidi Klum, Chris Daughtry was in there. And you know what? It was fun. The celebrities didn't take away from the games. In fact, they enhanced them a little bit. You know what? It was really a lot of fun, and surprisingly so.
Yeah, and a little bird told me that the record for the celebrity show was set by Snoop Dogg, right?
Last year, yeah.
A little bird told me that record is not going to last.
Ooh!
Will get broken. However, I think it wouldn't get broken if they had it in Australia.
Oh!
Ouch! And those are your hoes.
And that is Brain Vision. Jason, please shut
us
down.
Okay, left button here, lever here, slider. We're done.
Still come on the Showgram Spectacular, we pull a Kobe Bryant and retweet our own historical stories.
Actually, and we also have a new game on the show. But we'll get there eventually. It's based on The Bachelor. Chica will absolutely love it.
You're listening to WLTI Live, Gordon.
You're listening to WLTI Live on the CLW83.com network, Chico. You give us 22 minutes to give you 22 judges we'd rather see on the tapes. For example, Tom, Padma, and Guy, you're wanted on the set.
Trust me, is this You're listening to WLTI Live on the CLW 83 Network.
CLW 83 Network programming is now available on demand through Stitcher Radio. Log on to Stitcher.com. Download and install the free Stitcher Radio app to your iPhone, iPad, or Android device, or log into the site via Facebook. Then search for CLW 83, and you'll be instantly connected to all of your favorite CLW 83 Network programs. The Stitcher Radio app at Stitcher.com. The newest way to tune in to the CLW 83 Network, online, on demand, and on the go.
ALS doesn't just kill you. It shuts you down, little by little, bit by bit.
It starts small. Maybe it's holding a pencil that gets difficult.
Or getting up from your chair.
Then you find it hard to turn the pages of your book.
Because you can't move your fingers.
Your mind keeps working, but your body doesn't respond.
You won't see it coming, because no one knows where it comes from.
Soon you can't hug your mother or pick up your child.
You won't be able to tie your shoes.
You don't need to tie your shoes because now you can't walk.
You can't eat or shave.
Or laugh or sing.
First you can't catch the ball, then you can't catch your breath.
ALS doesn't just kill you.
It steals your life, a little bit at a time.
And it doesn't stop until there's nothing left.
Unless we stop it first. Unless we stop it now.
I'm Steve Gleason. Let's put our heads together and find a cure.
Hurricane Sandy left destruction and devastation across the Jersey Shore. Flooding and high winds left many residents without power, without a home, and without hope. With your help, that can all change. Operation Restore Our Shore, in cooperation with the American Red Cross, the Salvation Army, the United Way, and the State of New Jersey Department of Volunteerism, is committed to helping rebuild coastal communities impacted by Hurricane Sandy. To learn more about Operation Restore Our Shore, and to find out how you can help, visit facebook.com/Operation Restore Our Shore.
Hi everybody, this is Jim Williams, and you're listening to the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
Tony.
You cheap fucks!
Brain Vision is presented by The Bachelor. You can win a date with one of these six celebrity panelists if you can match exactly what they come up with to this question. Blank. Blank. B-L-A-N-K. Blank.
I got it.
Blank, blank. Okay, you got it? Jason, what you got?
Blank. Check.
Okay. Blank check. Gordon, $5,000 and dinner for two in Beverly Hills if you can come up with blank check.
You know, that is a great answer, but that's not the one I thought of. I had blank slate. I'm sorry.
Sorry. No dinner in Beverly Hills, no $5,000, which at least you get to continue doing the show with me. I sense the enthusiasm. Okay.
Yay.
Welcome back to WLTI Live on the CLW83 Network at CLW83.com. Who wants a cheap plug?
I do.
Okay.
All right. If you like this podcast and all of our other podcasts on the CLW83 network, you'll be happy to know that we are now available via the Stitcher app. You can just go to Stitcher.com to download it for free. How much is that, folks?
Free.
What's better than free?
Not much.
Awesome. You can also search the Apple App Store or Google Play for Stitcher.
Pretty cool app, by the way. I've been playing around with it. It's pretty fun.
It is fun. I like it. It's kind of like Spotify if you're into podcast radio.
All right.
You know what I like, Chico?
What would you like?
I like the deciphering media spins and reading between the lines.
Our classic English to English dictionary game.
Yeah.
What it is we're going to give you instances, or in some cases, direct quotes from pressers. That's what they say. This is what they're trying to say.
Pretty much. Chico, you got the first one.
I got the first one. This is from the story about Who Done It, which is basically CSI, from CSI's Anthony Zuiker, coming to ABC this summer. Each week, players will use a variety of crime scene investigation techniques to meticulously uncover evidence that will ultimately reveal who among them is the killer.
Ooh.
Translation, you remember CSI? Do you remember the mole? It's kind of like that.
I have a translation. Let's hope they forget that bomb from last season, Take the Money and Run. Remember that?
I was trying not to. Thanks.
My translation. And in addition to that, we're going to hope that none of you remember Murder or Murder in Small Town X or Harper's Island.
You know, again, no originality, please.
No original ideas in Hollywood anymore. And if there is an original idea, we'll make it into a reality show and make it not original.
There are original ideas out there. They're just not hitting the networks yet. Anyway, I have a translation for you.
What's that?
This is from the PR doctors over at Jeff Probst's show. Remember that show?
Oh. Jeff Probst has a talk show? That thing's still on, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we may be forgetting it soon, but here's the quote. Because you demanded it, Jeff Probst's new co-host from Survivor and The Facts of Life, Lisa Welchel.
Hey, Rat, meet sinking ship. Nice to meet you.
Oh, jeez. Translation, Ricky Lake is gone, America. I could do whatever I want. And you
can't. We'll throw in Blair, Tootie, Joe, and Mrs. Garrett also if more of you watch our show.
When?
There it is, man.
I mean, honestly, though, it ain't going to help. It really is not going to help.
Dead Man Walking is Jeff Probst's show.
Put it to you this way. The only two shows that are going to survive through the fall, I believe, are going to be The Katie Show and Steve Harvey. That's it.
Indeed. Trisha Goddard. I'm still scratching my head over that one. I didn't even know Trisha Goddard had a show in the U.S. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Next one.
Nigella Lawson, Yummy Mummy on the Taste, is the voice of the home cook.
If you're a stuck-up brick with nice boobs.
Gordon?
Translation. Nigella Lawson couldn't handle a good recipe if they put her tongue on a rack and slathered it with Marcel's magic foam, Marcel being from Top Chef Season 2. So let's call her a home cup judge and hope that no one else notices.
Nice. Very good.
My translation, okay guys, who can we get that is incredibly British and incredibly hot?
Nigella Lawson.
That's lunch!
Gordon, you got the next one.
I got the next one. This is from Amy Intricados of Davis over at TSN, Game Show Network, and it's about Minute to Win It, which some of us are more excited about than others in terms of getting on the air. But here is a quote. Minute to Win It is a buzzy, addictive, and social media-friendly show, and we are excited to be producing 40 new hour-long episodes.
True.
Translation.
It's cheap, and we have the rights, and we're going to produce it. Hey!
I got a translation. Okay, people, we need something that doesn't have Steve Harvey on it. Oh, wait, Minute to Win It's got ratings. Let's produce more of those. Because you wanted it? Come get you some.
Translation. We'll give you some more show. But because we can stick Super Coin in every episode, we'll make sure that no one comes close to hitting our budget.
Oh, yep. That's true. You're 2-2.
I expect to see a massive abundance of Super Coin.
And
as long as it isn't played in the first game.
Yeah.
You know what? I can see it played in the first game if there are in budget problems. Anyway, next one.
Oh, gosh. Melissa Peterman on Bet on Your Baby, which is another show that's coming out this summer.
Bet on Your Baby?
Bet on Your Baby.
You've never heard, you didn't hear the concept of this?
Let's hear the concept of this one.
If I'm remember, the parents bet on challenges that their toddler are going to do. And the levels get higher, I believe, for a college scholarship, if I'm not mistaken, Chico.
You are correct, sir.
Yep. And I believe it's like between 2 and 4 years old, 1 to 3, something like that.
Yeah. Basically taking baby Einstein down a couple pegs, you know?
And earn her brain cells down a whole bunch of pegs.
Yeah. Anyway, the quote from Melissa Peterman, as someone who likes funny, there is no one more naturally hilarious and fun to watch than a toddler.
Okay, here's my translation, all right? Let's exploit kids and hope people forget My Little Genius.
Okay, I got a translation. It's a two-part translation. First of all, nobody remembers Baby Races.
I remember it, and I'd like to forget it.
Yeah, and the second thing is, we like the Puppy Bowl on Animal Planet. Now, what if we were to replace puppies with babies? It would be just as cute, I bet, and easy to produce a weekly basis.
As much as I hate to admit this, Chico, I've got the better plan on this one.
Oh, God. Okay, let's hear it.
Because the target is not puppy races. Here's your target audience. Translation. You all loved Honey Boo Boo and her dream. You'll watch this because you're part of the same group of people that have the same intelligence as the stuff Honey Boo Boo ingests into her body.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Ha, 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 ha.
Baby needs her go-go juice. Baby needs her go-go juice.
You know one of the stuff that really... why? This is...
Why?
You know, they go. There's a segment we have on the show called "They Greenlit That." Oh
yeah.
Oh.
The lobotomy.
Oh.
All right. Last one. Last one. This is from Bravo. We have more cities than ever before for Top Chef Season 11 auditions.
Translation: wider nets. More talent.
No! Wider net, more drama! Forget it, cook! It's the chefs that have more pizzazz and drama and BS. So
yeah, that's how we got Ludo Lefebvre.
Yep.
Just saying. And now it's really fitting that Gordon Pepper gets the last word.
Thank you. Translation. 2 seasons ago, we had Paul Kui destroy everybody. This past season, we had to bring back 3 veteran chefs because the ones we had, we knew going in, were going to be as bland as unseasoned risotto. So, yeah, in the words of Jason Block, we need a greater net.
Yeah, unfortunately. And the funny thing is, this is sort of like a once mighty show really gone down. Because it's like, it just seems to me the Top Chef has gotten so glitzy and so complicated, it went away from what it actually is.
Basically. I mean, you have, it's almost like, you know, a show that goes on for that long will ultimately have the thinning of the herd, so to speak. I mean,
it's even simpler than that. The fact of the matter is, it comes down to the demystification of the product. At the beginning, you had that with the chefs talking and about how to make their food better and all that other stuff. Now you don't. You have more drama and you have less food. And that's, again, not what you're watching the show for. You're watching the show for food tips. You're not getting it. That's why Next Food Network Star is doing better than Top Chef is for that reason.
It's true. Look at the numbers. It's true.
Yep. I mean, that is the number one show on the Food Network for a reason.
Indeed.
All right.
All right.
Okay. By the way, you can go to bravotv.com/topchef to figure out when they are coming to a city near you.
Or you can go on our website, because we also have the listings.
Yes, we do. And now we have a break. And when we come back, Gordon's gonna torture me with a new game.
We will
explain after the break. With Jason Block, with Gordon Pepper, I'm Chico. This is WLTI Live on the CLW 83 network at CLW83.com. We'll see you after the break, kids.
You're listening to WLTI Live on the CLW 83 network.
Maybe you're a 49ers fan in Jacksonville or a Jets fan in Houston, and you're looking to connect with fellow fans from hundreds or thousands of miles away. Look no further than FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net is a social networking site dedicated to fans of every team and every league. Connect with baseball, football, basketball, and hockey fans from throughout the country and throughout the world. Get the latest news, take polls, and interact in live chats on game day. And best of all, it's absolutely free to join. Sign up today at FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net, where sports meets social networking.
In the year 2000, while struggling with bipolar disorder, I attempted suicide. By the grace of God, I survived. Today, I am living a full life, reaching out to anyone who may be feeling trapped or hopeless. If you or someone you know is contemplating suicide, please call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK.
Williamswear is now a part of the CLW 83 network and is proud to offer official CLW 83 network merchandise. Go to williamswear.clw83.com. Click the CLW 83 wear button and browse through an ever-growing, ever-changing selection of items dedicated to your favorite CLW 83 shows and websites. The BS Big Show, the NAWC, Game Show Garbage, and many more. All available at williamswear.clw83.com, the official online store of the CLW 83 network. Tune in and shop right now.
Hi, this is Carl Chenier, and you're listening to the CLW 83 network. Tune in.
It's a dance number. Yeah, we get it.
By Froze versus Snows. Can you beat Shaquille O'Neal in a shoveling competition? What about Danica Patrick in a snowblower race? The world will be watching.
Sounds cold. Cold meaning good. And I can, yeah. I think I can beat Danica Patrick in a snowblower race. I mean, just give me a snowblower, watch me push it down the drive, maybe rig it up with some rock salts. I don't know.
Well, put it to you this way. The way Danica Patrick's been racing lately, you could beat her in anything. It's true. It's true. But you know what? You know what? I like cold. You know?
I like cold.
It's so still. Just sort of like the sound of a sunrise over a crying, freezing baby. That's
somebody
get baby.
That boy a blanket.
I am swaddling the new baby in blankets.
Okay, because we have... Drum roll, please.
A new game!
Right,
this game was guaranteed to come up anytime I want to tick Chico off. It's called Bachelor Number One.
Uh-huh.
Oh, boy.
Here's how it works. I will give you a quote-unquote bachelor and three people. You have to tell me which one is the best fit. All right? So, I will start this off. Your bachelor is Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Your bachelors behind the curtain are Tim Vincent, Cedric the Entertainer, and Regis Philbin. Obviously, no Meredith Vieira, because Meredith has just jilted our bachelor, and our bachelor is very upset. So the bachelor needs... Yeah, I know. The bachelor needs a new suitor. Who's the best choice?
Regis, hands down. Why is this even a discussion?
Well, I mean, my choice is Regis as well, but I think Gordon's going to... you know what? It's just Regis. It's Regis.
You're right, Shay. I will disagree with both of you. Regis is too easy. You know, obviously the heart wants Regis. However,
that's what it wants, yeah.
The heart wants what it wants. However, Regis is getting old. Regis is getting older. We saw what happened to Bob Barker in The Price is Right. We see what happened to Money Hall and Liz McNeil, even though it hasn't been as bad as Barker. I have a feeling, because we've seen Regis in Super Millionaire, he's over 75 years old now. He's about to be pushing the 80-year mark. As much as I think from a nostalgic purpose it would be great for Regis, I want to see what Cedric the Entertainer can do. You know, he could be another Steve Harvey and reinvigorate the franchise, maybe bring a little bit of Bubba, shall we say, in America's heartland, in terms of the demographics, and more importantly, make the demographic base younger. If you can do that, the millionaire can revitalize itself just like Family Feud has. So, you know what? I do want to see a little Cedric there.
Yeah, that was actually the subject of the WLTI Live bonus point, which is up on the site right now, actually.
Well, he was on his work, what? And we all unanimously agreed that the problem wasn't Cedric.
Exactly.
The problem
was
the
material.
So,
Cedric was working with what he was given.
Exactly. So I'd like to see him have another shot at this.
Okay. And hey, so Mark Wahlberg was given shot after shot after shot, then Russian roulette happened. Anyway.
So Chico, you understand how the game works now, right?
I do. And I think I have one here. The Bachelorette is a celebrity swan, representative of Fox's Celebrity Swan special that is forthcoming. Yes, there is one. Oh, God.
Lovely.
I know yours. Where's the enthusiasm, Gordon? Where's your enthusiasm?
In the snow somewhere.
Anyway, the Bachelorette's...
enthusiasm is currently undergoing plastic surgery as we speak.
Okay. The Bachelorette's of choice, that chick from Jody Loves Chachi.
Erin Moran.
Thank you. That chick from Small Wonder.
Tiffany Brissett.
Thank you. Or that chick with the leather jacket from The Facts of Life.
Nancy McKeon.
Thank you.
I know my stars. What do you know?
I will go with Tiffany Brissett because I know Nancy McKeon can just pop back into the Jet Froze show, and Erin Moran can continue to make really bad horror movies with her head falling off of her body. And I haven't seen anything from Tiffany Brissett recently.
Well, as a matter of fact, doing a little research, she's actually a nurse in Boulder, Colorado. Okay. Erin Moran is living in a trailer park somewhere, and Nancy McKeon did all those Lifetime movies, if you remember back in the day. But I will go with Tiffany Brissett. I want to see her. No one wants to see a whacked out Erin Moran. Sorry.
I would. Maybe gets back on the VH1 celebrity reality slate.
Oh, God. I think it's all celeb reality at this point. Anyway, I will go with the two of you. I think the toy robot needs to be made into a full-grown robot. Anyway. She's more machine than man.
Oh, God. Okay, Gordon, next one.
All right, let's go on to the next one, please. Your bachelor, in this case, your bachelorette, is Francesca Hoagy. Who? Francesca was the first person voted out of Survivor during her season. She's the first 16th place player, or 18th place player in this case, who gets back to go to the All-Stars, and she's really going to need an ally for history not to repeat itself. Her choices in this case would be John Cochran, Brandon Hance, and Malcolm Freeburg. Who would you suggest?
I'm going to go with Malcolm. He's loyal, he's a gamer, and he's a good clutch player.
So is John Cochran. I like him. I would ally with him, personally.
Actually use the same rationale that you guys have, but I'm going to pick a different person. The different person is going to be Brandon Hans. You know what he's thinking. You know exactly how he's going to play the game. And unlike Malcolm or Cochran, you know when he's going to backstab you. So this would be the best time to pick him because then you can backstab him first. Whereas with Malcolm and Cochran, although they're good players, you can't really trust them, and you know you can trust Hans in your pants. So I would go with Brandon.
That's true.
This is true. You can't trust Malcolm, and you can't trust Cochran. You can't trust Malcolm, and you can't trust Cochran. Why not go with Hans in your pants? Anyway,
next one, Chico.
Drew Carey needs a ride or die player chick. His bachelorettes: Nene Leakes, Sharon Osbourne, and of course, X Factor Judge Demi Lovato. Who is going to be the lady in Drew's Hour of the Day?
Now, I'm assuming people for the Price is Right Celebrity Week. And so the question really is, who is going to be the best player, or is it going to be who is going to be the best entertainment value? That is the question that you've got to figure out here. I think the answer in both of these, believe it or not, is going to be Nene Leakes. She's a nutbag. We know she's of an entertaining nutbag, and because she's quote unquote a real housewife, she may actually have a better fingertip in terms of what these prices actually are. Unlike Snoop Dogg, who missed almost every single item in checkout by at least $4 either way.
Well, he
never had to shop for his own groceries. Let's just say that.
Yeah. Or his own gardening supplies. Yeah. For me, you know what? I go by, yes, Nene's going to be nutty, but on the second level of nuttiness, I'm going to go with Sharon Osbourne. You know, she's a whack in a weird sort of way, and she's CBS and all that sort of stuff. So I think it's going to be fun. Why not? It's Sharon. All right.
I'm going to side with Jason on this. Sharon is company. She is a mom. She is a housewife. She knows her deal. She's been around the way. She's all that. This is just a game that's going to be tailored for her.
Oh, yeah, which means that she knows those prices. I wonder how much American she knows.
Ooh. Didn't even think about that.
Ooh, very interesting. But you notice we just basically glossed over Demi Lovato.
Well, think about this. I mean, Demi Lovato was probably of the age where if she was sick at home, then she would be watching The Price is Right, nothing else. Or, you know, is that just me?
It's you.
Okay. Well, you ought to be staying at home watching The Price is Right when you're sick. CLW cares.
Yeah, okay. Next.
Going on. Next one. The Batch is the Biggest Loser contestants. We're now at the stage of the game where you can select your own trainer and then you get a different color. So no more red, white, and blue. Now we're down to the obnoxious pink, green, gray, fuchsia, Lindsay Lohan's vomit color when she's on a bender, you know, those specific colors. Anyway, you can select your own trainer. Bob Dolbeck, or Jillian? Who do you choose?
I choose Bob. He's fair, but tough.
I'm going to choose Dolvet. He has my good mindset, and if I've been working with him for a while, he's a good motivator, and if I've been working with him for a while, then I know what to expect, and I know that I'm going to be giving more than what is expected.
Chico?
Yes.
I like money. You know I like money.
You love money.
And I go into a game to play the game. So therefore, if I'm here to win $250,000, I'm going to select the trainer with the best record, correct?
All right.
The best record is 8-1, and that record of 8-1 belongs to Jillian. And therefore, I don't mind getting whined, yelled at, poked, prodded, and physically abused and manhandled, and I have no problem if Jillian does it, to be quite honest, but that's a different example. But I have no problem with this. If I know that with an 8-1 record, I have a fantastic chance to get to the end of my $250,000.
So you're concentrated on the money now. But all the traders, give them one thing, they're all concentrated on the contestants. They're all concentrated on end products. They all want to breed success, if for no other reason than they can get the bragging rights for this season.
I want money.
But he wants money. Anyway, last one.
Last one,
The Bachelor. Hey, Gordon, how you doing? How are the kids? Non-existent? Awesome.
Am I the Bachelor by any stretch of the imagination?
Say what?
So you're making me the Bachelor.
Actually, The Bachelor is going to be you, Joe, reality fan, and you're the biggest reality fan I know, so there you go. So you, as the biggest reality fan in the world, have a choice among detectives, hookers, and babies.
Say what?
Detectives, hookers, and babies.
You know, I can make a really good porn movie out of that premise, but I'm not really going to. I'm going to guess, based on my knowledge of the game show world, that these are all genres of reality shows that will be coming my way this summer.
Right. Detectives is whodunit. Hookers is top hooker. It's a fishing show, Jay. Mind out of the gutter. Jeez.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. My Gordon brain just went on there for a second.
Really?
Yes, it did.
Well, obviously, I would drool for the hookers, except for the fact that it's about fishing and not those sort of hookers. And babies,
I didn't know you were a fan of rugby. Anyway.
Go on.
Well, babies are really good when they're boiled at 350 degrees and covered in barbecue sauce. So, I'm going to go with the detectives. No, in all seriousness, honestly, baby shows don't do it for me. Fishing doesn't do it for me. Detectives, I can at least have some sort of brain power where I can watch a show, watch it get canceled, but at least just enjoy it for what it is for 13 episodes.
Okay. Well, if I just gushed over the sight of anything that looked cute, I would pick babies. If I were an outdoorsman, I would pick hookers. That sounds wrong. Anyway, but I'm going to go with detectives.
I'll make it.
It is cerebral.
Yeah, and I'll make it a sweep here. Again, I'm not a fan of The Fisherman. I know it does well on ESPN and other places like that. The baby show just really, honestly sounds really exploitative. In a bad way. But for me, I give the cerebral shows a chance. Again, Million Dollar Mind Game, where are you? But the detective show will be the one I will watch this summer.
Awesome. So you're going to watch that. I'm going to watch that. Gordon's going to watch it. And his opinion counts more than anybody because he's the big reality show fan. But right now, we're all going to watch us go to a speed round after this word from The Odd Job. Gordon, The Odd Job.
Who is the biggest James Bond baddie of them all? 16 Bond villains fight in a no-holds-barred brawl in the snow. It's much better than Moonraker, but my choice will be Jaws anyway.
No, it's Auric Goldfinger.
Man, I got both of y'all beat. It's Odd Job himself. The hat alone. Boom. Target acquired. Done. Next.
Target right now is going to be a speed round, and that's going to start now. Jeffrey, do we all agree that Nilal wins?
Yeah, Nilal.
Yes.
Yep.
Nilal Sarda wins, yes.
It's February 2 week's time. Are we going to see a million-dollar question next week on Millionaire?
I want to say maybe?
Yeah, I think so. Do we care about the women on Idol?
Oh, no. I want to care. Please say something that'll make me care. I want to care.
Not yet. Well, let's see what the performances do. Let's
okay.
See if I edit them.
Okay. $1 million on Wheel of Fortune. Do we see it?
That's something that will make you care.
Okay.
Anyway, anyone win $1 million on Wheel of Fortune this week?
Nope. You want to know why? Because we didn't get a press release. Sorry.
Oh!
Man.
It's true.
Any mail this week?
We do not have any mail this week, but you can change that. You can send some over to our box at WLTI@GameShowNewsNet.com, or if you're down with the whole social media thing, we're on Facebook at WLTI.GSNN, and we are on Twitter at WLTI on GSNN.
And
tell your friends.
And also, one more time, the debut of the entire CLW83.com lineup on Stitcher.com. Which is the Stitcher app, which you can find in the App Store or on the Google Play Store. Download it. It's a pretty cool app.
Anything else you want to plug while you're here, Jason?
I want to plug, hopefully, the return of Pixel Nation this week, the return of Red State, Blue State this week. I believe Touch 'Em All will be talking about some winter moves on baseball. And I believe the North American Wrestling Connection just did episode 260. We're on our way to 300. So there you go.
Okay, Gordon, I mentioned at the top of the show the underground bowling tournament that was in Fayetteville this last week. You want to give a quick shout out to them?
I'll definitely give a quick shout out to the Underground Bowling Association. Our next tour on our stop is going to be the Unholy Alliance, which is going to be in my neck of the woods, New Jersey. That is the weekend of February 14th and 16th. Valentine's Day weekend, love.
Aww. It's going to be a Valentine's Day massacre.
Probably.
And there will be powdering, yes.
And yes, lots of powdering. Anyway, next week we will find if we do care about the women, if anything happens during February sweeps that you should know about, if there's stuff that happens during Valentine's sweeps that we shouldn't care about, and more wonderful things, and of course, more fighting, arguing, yelling, and horrible jokes. So, from Jason and Chico, this is Gordon Pepper saying game over and spread the love. Have a good night, everybody.
Take care. We'll be right back.
If you have any questions or comments about this podcast, please submit them to clw3network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.